Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Listeners, I will open up this radio teaching with an invocation for our biblical study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving for this blessed day and for all those days that are yet to come. We thank you for the peaceful night and for your continued watch over all of our households. We thank you for our divine health and prosperity. We accept and confess that we are blessed and that we will be a blessing to others, as you said in your word. We glorify your holy name and thank you for your dear son, Jesus, and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Father, in obedience to your word, we pray continually for every believer in the body of Christ, its leaders and their families. We pray that we will have the spirit of wisdom of your word, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of your inheritance in our lives. We thank you continually that the exceeding greatness of your power that raised Jesus from the dead is continually at work in this ministry and those listening to this broadcast. And we thank you for providing us all of our spiritual, physical, and financial needs in abundance. We pray continually that we will be strengthened with all might by your Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, will be able to comprehend with all saints the love of Christ, which passes natural knowledge, being filled with all of Jesus' fullness to the praise and glory and honor of your name, that your name may be exalted and honored continually throughout the earth by the church, that the world may see Jesus through our lives. We pray continually that we will be on one accord, one mind, one spirit, speaking the same thing, serving you, that we may come into the unity of the faith, into the fullness and stature of Christ. We pray for this biblical teaching that it will meet the needs of God's people, that they may grow from faith to faith and live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. We thank you that we have the wisdom to make right decisions throughout our lives. We thank you for protecting us from any voice or spirit that is not from you, but surround us continually with those who are from you so that we can complete our divine assignments in excellence. We thank you for continuing to reveal, remove, and expose anything or anyone that is not right in our ministries and in our own personal lives, that we may be blameless in your presence. We thank you for giving us understanding hearts, that we may discern between the good and bad, for how can we judge so great a people? And we thank you for it all. We thank you that because we have made you, Father God, the Most High, our habitation. No evil shall befall us, and no plague, including the COVID-19 virus, shall come nigh our dwellings, because you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. Your angels are encamped around and about us to deliver us from any destruction. We are blessed as a family because we fear you and delight greatly in your commandments. Therefore, our seed shall be mighty upon the earth, and they shall be blessed. We declare in faith that they shall serve you all the days of their lives, from this generation until Jesus comes. We will represent you by precept and example in word and deed, and we thank you for your continued protection and provisions. Now, Father, we commit this entire radio study to you, that all that we do, think, and say may be done to the praise and glory and honor of your name. And we thank you for it in the name that is above all names, in the name of the one who is and was and is to come, our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ. And the people of God say, Amen. On February 11th, 2020, the World Health Organization announced an official name for the disease that is causing the 2019 novel coronavirus outbreak, first identified in Wuhan, China. We have come to know this new strain as COVID-19. This virus attacks the respiratory system and spreads from person to person, as well as animal to person. It is highly contagious, and depending on the infected person's pre-existing health condition, can be life-threatening. This virus is not a respecter of person and has traveled around the world stealing, killing, and destroying. Just this past week, President Trump, his wife, and several of his staff members tested positive for this virus and are being treated. So we know that this virus is not immune to skin color, gender, or social position. As of September 18th, 2020, 316,000 people have died worldwide. At this time, there is no man-made vaccine to prevent this disease. This kind of pandemic is not new to mankind, and I'm sorry to say, will not be the last disease to assault us. In the past, recorded as far back as 1200 BC, man was attacked with a flu-like disease. We have also experienced typhoid fever, smallpox, bubonic plague, typhus, influenza, measles, malaria, chickenpox, hepatitis, yellow fever, diphtheria, tuberculosis, cholera, HIV, AIDS, Ebola, and many others like them around the world. And to keep the record straight, we have our adversary, Satan, to thank for all these demonic diseases that are spawned in the pit of hell. It is no wonder why people are anxious and stressed about their well-being. The world is looking for a solution, the way of escape from all this pain, suffering, and death. In the natural, it seems overwhelming and hopeless. Many ask, how can we keep from being infected and succumbing to these life-threatening diseases? Well, here is good news for God's people. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, the scripture tells us the following. When evening came, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were under the power of demons. And he cast out the evil spirits with a word, and restored to health all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah, so that he, Jesus, fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself, Jesus, took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases. Christians, we have the solution to all of Satan's attacks, and the answer is Jesus. Therefore, listeners, for the next few months, I will be teaching on a very relevant topic that we are aware of from the time we are born until the day we leave this earth realm, and that is health and healing. The title of my new teaching is Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right. I want to start by defining the word covenant, and in particular, blood covenant, as it pertains to the Holy Bible. The Hebrew word for blood covenant is berith, B-E-R-I-T-H. The definition for blood covenant is the following: a solemn agreement between two parties in which there is total commitment on each part, sealed by the shedding of blood. It also means to cut where blood flows, to eat and or to pass between the pieces. Listener, to be very clear, the parties engaged in blood covenant are telling each other that they will uphold their solemn agreement with their life unto death. This is the exact covenant ritual that was entered into by God Almighty and Abram in Genesis chapter 15, which we will read and examine shortly. First, here is a condensed overview regarding our biblical blood covenant and how it applies to us today. In brief, the Holy Bible is a covenant book, a blood covenant book, that was instituted by our Heavenly Father on the life, blood, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a result of Jesus' obedience and faithfulness to complete his earthly assignment, mankind can once again be reunited to our Creator and live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body in Jesus. God's blood covenant began under the Old Testament. Nevertheless, I want us to start by reading from the New Testament. Please turn to the book of Hebrews. Note that I will be using the Amplified Study Bible for this teaching, unless otherwise stated. Again, Hebrews, we're going to chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 13 through 18. I'll read verse 13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, he, God, swore an oath by himself, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he realized the promise in the miraculous birth of Isaac, as a pledge of what was to come from God. Verse 16. Indeed, men swear an oath by one greater than themselves, and with them in all disputes, the oath serves as confirmation of what had been said, and is an end of the dispute. In the same way, God, in his desire to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable nature of his purpose, intervened and guaranteed it with an oath. Verse 18, so that by two unchangeable things, his promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to him for refuge would have strong encouragement and indwelling strength to hold tightly to the hope set before us. This passage gives us two key points to understand, which I will highlight. First, would God entered into blood covenant with Abram by swearing on his own life? I'm going to read that directly from the passage. Let's go back to verse 13. That second part of the verse says, he, God, swore an oath by himself, since he had no one greater by whom to swear. And secondly, that God does not lie. Go to verse 18. First part of the verse says, so that by two unchangeable things, his or God's promise and his oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie. God gave Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, to lay his life down on our behalf, whereupon safeguarding the blood covenant he made with Abraham and ensuring that no man could once again separate us from him. As a result, we can depend on God's promises recorded in the Holy Bible. His promises are forevermore written and confirmed on his life unto death. God's word can be trusted because if he would ever lie to us, he would destroy himself. That's what this passage is all about. God is giving us an assurance of his word by entering into blood covenant with man, by using his only begotten son as the perfect lamb to pay the cost for this blood covenant. The scriptures tell us that God has magnified his word above his name. We can find that in Psalm 138, verse 2. So family, we can be sure without a doubt that his word is going to hold, it's going to manifest if we operate by faith. Now let's turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good and fulfill it? I want to emphasize that first part of verse 19. It said, God is not a man that he should lie. Now, I want to put a little pause right there, because I know all of us have been in situations where we have been betrayed by man, where someone has lied to us, that we trusted in, that we respected. But that's not God. That's man. It goes on to say, nor is God a son of man that he should repent. Now, this should give you much hope, family, because his word can be counted on. If he said thus and so is going to happen. But we have to know what our covenant rights are, and then we have to operate by faith. All right, let's also read from the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Based on the hope and divine guarantee of eternal life, the life which God, who is ever truthful and without deceit, promised before the ages of time began. So again, we read another scripture that talks about the truthfulness of God, which is his word, and that he is without deceit. According to these passages and many more like them, God does not lie, which means that what he has told us in his holy word must come into manifestation here on earth to those who are in covenant with him through Jesus. This is good news indeed, family. Now, let's go to the beginning where God revealed his precious plan for redemption to save us from the curse. Please go to the book of Genesis. This is where it all started, family. I'm going to start with Genesis chapter 15, and I plan to read verses 1 through 17. And I'm going to take my time because each of these verses builds on one another. And the more you understand this awesome covenant that God cut with man, you will come to really understand his goodness. All right, so verse 1 says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, and your reward for obedience shall be very great.' Abram said, 'Lord God, what reward will you give me, since I am leaving this world childless, and he who will be the owner and heir of my house is this servant Eleazar from Damascus?' And Abram continued, 'Since you have given no child to me, one, a servant born in my house, is my heir.' Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This man, Eleazar, will not be your heir, but he who shall come from your own body shall be your heir.' And the Lord brought Abram outside his tent into the night and said, 'Look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them.' Then he said to him, 'So numerous shall your descendants be.'" Verse 6. "Then Abram believed in, affirmed, trusted in, relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord, and he God counted or credited to him as righteousness, doing right in regard to God and man. And he said to him, 'I am the same Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as an inheritance.' But Abram said, 'Lord God, by what proof will I know that I will inherit it?'" Verse 9. "So God said to him, 'Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.' So Abram brought all these to him and cut them down the middle and laid each half opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds. The birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. When the sun was setting, a deep sleep overcame Abram, and a horror, terror, strutting fear, nightmare of great darkness overcame him." Verse 13. "God said to Abram, 'Know for sure that your descendants will be strangers living temporarily in a land, Egypt, that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. But on that nation whom your descendants will serve, I will bring judgment, and afterward they will come out of the land with great possessions. As for you, you shall die and go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation, your descendants shall return here to Canaan, the land of promise. For the wickedness and guilt of the Amorites is not yet complete, finished.'" Verse 17. "When the sun had gone down and a deep darkness had come, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between the divided pieces of the animals. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant promise pledge with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates.'" Family, I took the time to read these 18 verses because I wanted you folks to see that it was clearly documented and recorded that this covenant that God broke with Abram would provide all of our needs, all of what we desire in this earth realm, it was provided for in this covenant with Abram. Again, I'm sharing this awesome information about blood covenant because it is impossible to understand and then operate in faith according to our covenant rights without understanding the magnitude of Jesus' work for mankind. When Christians pray and claim the promises of God through Jesus Christ, we are backed up by the high courts of heaven. There is no greater advocate, no greater provider, no greater protector than the one who laid his life down and shed his blood for you and me. As a result of understanding our blood covenant, we will never again allow fear, worry, or stress rule over us. Please turn to the book of John. John 16, verse 33. Jesus is speaking. Oh, I'm sorry, family. I'm looking at my time, and my time is up. But I do want to remind you that I will return next Wednesday to continue our study on divine healing, our covenant right. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.